to save any of 11. And now he must score. And now he must score.
It's exhausting watching that. Goodness me, what a brilliant cup final. Despite the fact we saw no goals in open play for 120 minutes, an extraordinary penalty shootout, and in the end, the man who was brought on to save Chelsea ends up to be the one who cost them.
I mean, it's ironic, isn't it, that he comes on to be the hero. He got close to two or three, if memory serves me right. But once it comes down to that, I mean, Kelleher's penalty just put all the pressure on. His was brilliant. So that presses the panic button, you know, and obviously he hit it high and wide. You can't blame a keeper for missing a penalty. But the tactic of bringing him on in place of Mendy, which I know it's worked before, but similar stature, Edward Mendy, made some great saves during the game, had also played a brilliant game. So, you know, Monday morning quarterback, you look at that now. But great game, great penalties up until the last one.
I guess if you're Chelsea, this is all about what if, because I think Liverpool were a better side overall, but the truth is, what, three occasions Chelsea had the chance to go ahead.
Yeah.
And it's a different ball game when you go ahead in the cup final, because now all the pressure goes on the opposition. And the fact that they never got themselves ahead and gave themselves something to defend, that is the one thing. More than anything, they'll be thinking about, or certainly Tuchel will be thinking about, as opposed to the penalty shootout.
Smiles all around, quite the dance from Jurgen Klopp as well. Once they organise which way to go up the steps, Liverpool celebrating then.
Wedding dance.
That is a wedding dance, isn't it? That's Dad, sit down, you've had enough.
Yeah. He's embarrassing the kids, isn't he?
Of course, only the second domestic title that Jurgen Klopp has won with Liverpool. Little matter of the Premier League that he won a couple of years ago. But a nice way to start the season, Stevie. Obviously, first bit of silverware handed out.
Yeah, I mean, it takes the pressure off somewhat because you've got one in the bank. And again, it'll take the pressure off Klopp. You know, you asked me about it before. He's only got one domestic title. Mm. I was speaking to somebody yesterday and they said, well, he's lost six finals in his career.
Right.
I mean, what has the guy got to do to get rid of that? So again, apart from having one in the bank, he's getting rid of more of the negative stuff that obviously he doesn't want to hear.
You look overall, obviously, smiles across the Liverpool players. For Chelsea, a lot of them going to bed tonight with regrets, Craig. You think of Mason Mount, you think of Pulisic and that early chance, and you think, obviously, Kepa missing that penalty.
Yeah, I think more the first two players rather than the goalkeeper. Yeah, I mean, the keeper will regret his penalty, but it's not what he's paid to do. I think the Achilles heel was, once again, Chelsea's finishing. It's why they will probably go all out to try and bolster that front line in the summer. Now, whatever that means for Lukaku, whatever it means, but I think clearly that's an area that I don't think the current players there are going to make it work. I think for Thomas Tuchel's mindset, he thinks the players are tidy enough, but he needs ruthless guys up front that can finish games off, and they didn't have that. But I tell you what, I will give props to Lukaku here today, because he has been under the most unbelievable pressure recently, from interviews to performances to lack of, you know, touches, embarrassing during games. But he stood up as one of the front five. And people would say, well, yeah, he gets paid, you know, he's 100 million, he's a strike. Well, no, because your head's gone.
Right.
Well, your head's gone, then even taking a penalty in a cup final is just going to be so much pressure for you. So fair play to him. He obviously finished it well. Was unlucky not to get a goal in real play. Two goals, actually. One was a great save and the second one was just offside. But it's hard to gauge. you know, Liverpool, as Stevie said, really free-flowing in their play, but Chelsea just felt like they had some great chances.
Yeah, they did indeed. Let's get some more reaction from Wembley now, shall we, and go pitch side with Alexis and Nadim.
Yeah, guys, it is unbelievably loud here at Wembley. All of the Chelsea fans that were in front of us have cleared out, and it's all about that end right there, the red end. Liverpool are the Carabao Cup champions. Nadim, on the back of what was probably one of the best games we have ever seen. Fair result, you think, even though it's always hard to call when it goes to penalties?
Do you know, I think it is hard to call, because both sides are probably leaving this thinking maybe we should have won. And I think for the chances that Chelsea created, yes. But then also Liverpool had a few opportunities as well.
Yep.
But I think the hallmark of like a good 0-0 for me was the fact that both keepers played very well. You know, I think that is key, because otherwise it could have been a very boring game. So I think, you know, Liverpool are very happy with it. As Stevie said, it's one to tick off. They're on the roll and all that stuff. And congratulations to them. You know, they took it seriously. The whole squad got themselves here, and they've won it. And fair play. It's just a shame that it's not any closer to us now.
Oh, a nice little light show is going on right now here at Wembley. Nadim, hopefully you can still hear me, because one of the things that we said, though, in the first half, after we saw all the chances that Chelsea had, they came out of the blocks. I almost wanted to say they're going to ruin missing all of these chances.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we kept knowing that they would be coming. But how much should Chelsea have put those away?
Yeah, they have to, 100%. It's as Craig was saying, you know, those missed chances can cost you in games. I said, if they ended up winning, then the players will be looking back and thinking it doesn't matter. But those are pivotal moments within games. You score those, it changes the whole complexion of the game. And they're capable of scoring them. I think the two mount chances, he's capable of scoring those. So the fact that he didn't, and now his team, you know, doesn't score a game in regulation, not in extra time, and then he's on the sidelines just watching from a distance and he can't affect it. I think this is a thing which you hope that they would address by bringing in Lukaku. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But then again, as Craig said, I thought Lukaku played well when he came on. I thought he stepped up to the penalty well.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's a game of inches at times. And if things don't go your way, then, you know, it comes down to the last three penalties. Look what we just saw there.
One of the people that we probably needed here is Xhaka Hislop, because it really was a match where the goalkeeper has kind of stole a lot of the headlines, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. Going into the penalty shootout, when you're seeing Kepa coming on, you're thinking, well, maybe he's going to put on some sort of goalkeeping masterclass to save some, but the quality of the penalties was really, really good, barring that one from Kepa. And that's our...
I was going to say, did you feel that was coming? Well, we did see Kepa stepping up.
To be honest, once you get past about penalty number 6 or 7, you're thinking, like, the guys that are there, they don't really want to be taking a penalty, which is why they're so far back. So it's a shame that he's lost the game through his miss. But I think both sides will walk away. And people who watch the game will say, as Frank alluded to before, this was a really good game of football. And I guess that's the bigger message come the end of it.
For the neutral, it was definitely one of the best games I've seen so far this year. Even though the penalties didn't go on and on, I kind of still wanted them to keep going. It was just that good. But we're also freezing, so we kind of do want to go home at some point. So we'll head back to you guys in studio as the Liverpool party continues here at Wembley.
You can go and warm up, guys. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. It's interesting there, you saw Fabinho celebrating, obviously kind of lost all manners in all the penalties. That second one, the Panenka that he took, was just so cool. It was just ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, when it comes off, it looks ridiculously easy.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, if you're walking up to take a penalty and you're thinking about it, you're thinking, if this works, I look like a genius. If I don't score.
If it doesn't.
So, I mean, fantastic, cool, calm, composed, and probably because he was knackered.
Yeah.
He didn't have too much nervous energy left to get nervous, and so he kept his cool.
As did Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
Who, as Stevie pointed out, when just after he took his penalty, he was so stiff looking that he was struggling to actually take the penalty, but still managed to find the corner. We were sitting here, once it got past 4 or 5, every penalty taker that came up for both sides, we were sitting going, oh, this is bad.
Right.
But to a man, they all put it away. But Chelsea will regret those missed chances. And I suppose both teams in open play in the 90 minutes could have felt they did enough. But I think the goalkeeping one's an interesting one, because Mendy was having a great game.
Yeah.
He's a big old unit in that goal as well.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like Steve said, it's all driven by stats.
No, but like you think African Cup of Nations, he was the goalkeeper and when they beat Egypt in the final, so it's...
Well, I can't, as you know, Casey Keller, our colleague, was texting me saying, this is crazy.
Right.
Didn't think it was a great idea at all because, I presume because Mendy had been, as you would expect, brilliant in goal. And it's not easy coming on either. I mean, he got close to a couple, but, you know, for him tonight, having missed, you know, that disappointment.
I like what Frank said earlier about choosing to go second, because I always feel if you go first and somebody misses, you've still got an opportunity to recover, and actually the pressure is on the person taking the penalty kick even more. So to go second, I'd love to understand or figure out why. Again, I would have to assume that they had figured this out before and he'd spoken to Tuchel and they had decided together to go second. As I said, I agree with Frank. I think you go first and regardless, at the end of it, the pressure is going to be on them to either lose it or win it.
On top of that, they went to, after winning the toss, as Frank said, they went to the Liverpool end. So, I don't know, it's minute things that, I don't know. I don't think it would have made a difference to me taking a penalty if what end I was at.
Right.
A big difference of going first and second, yes. But not so much what end.
Obviously, this was at the bottom, you would say, of Liverpool's priorities at the start of the season.
Yep.
Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup, and then the Carabao Cup.
Yep.
This can only help, though.
Well, yes. I'm interested to look and think about what he's going to do in the midweek in the FA Cup.
Right.
Because we'll find out how Jurgen Klopp's thinking by the team selection in the game against Norwich. Because if there's a lot of kids playing, then he's basically saying, right, we've got one in the bank. I'm willing to rest some players because we're now back in the title race. We also got the Champions League. So if he plays his first team, however, that tells you that he wants a lot.
Right.
That tells you we're after it and we want to be the team that gets the four.
Right then, here we go. Strap yourselves in. Let's take you through the highlights. There are a lot of them of this year's Carabao Cup final. Chelsea against Liverpool at Wembley. Before kickoff, Thiago picked up an injury. Obviously then withdrawn from the starting 11. Naby Keita coming in. Chelsea would start the better of the two sides. And this is the first, the big opportunities that we've been talking about. Christian Pulisic. Callahan makes a save.
Yeah, I mean, he times his run to perfection as well. Gets in a great spot, but just... He probably doesn't pick his head up. I think he's just trying to concentrate on making a contact, and maybe that's why he's hit it straight at the goalkeeper.
Good strong arm, though, from Kelleher still, but it was pretty straight at him.
Then we take it into the 30th minute. Lovely move here. Mendy first to nice Keita, and then an extraordinary save to stop Mane.
Yeah, at this point, Liverpool were dominant. Chelsea started well, but Liverpool on the front foot at this point. They're dominating possession, they were creating chances. That's a very good save, but then he picks himself up again. They do this in training all the time, these little exercises day in, day out, about how quickly they can get up and make a save, and it was brilliant.
We saw a number of times, didn't we? Chelsea trying to get in behind that high line from Liverpool. Kai Havertz just offside here. As the play would continue and Stevie would shout at the linesman.
Yeah, I mean, it's considering he was probably 5 yards off, not to put the flag up straight away. I mean, seriously, that is ridiculous. There's no excuse for that. There's no reason for it.
Now, that's not the directive that they've got. The directive is if it's tight and in doubt, which that wasn't.
Chelsea would end the better of the two sides in the first half. Azpilicueta here, just putting it wide.
Yeah, he's always on the rise on his weaker left foot.
And then a huge opportunity here. It all start with Chelsea winning the ball in midfield. Christian Pulisic with a driving run forward, and it would fall to Mason Mount. He puts it wide.
Well, Craig pulled this out earlier, that Alexander-Arnold, having lost the ball, just stands and watches and then doesn't react quick enough. Look at Mason Mount going through the middle here. Alexander-Arnold's too late, and unfortunately, Mason Mount doesn't finish it the way he should have.
And we'd see quite a lot of emotion from Thomas Tuchel on the touchline as the game would continue. As we take it into the second half, Kai Havertz plays it across.
That's one of those balls, you just get it in an area because you know what, it may come off one of the defenders and go in, not your own player.
And then what about this from Mason Mount?
Yeah, Stevie was saying at the end of full time, he just lacks composure here. He's got way more time than he thinks. He's onside, take a touch, now take another touch. He doesn't set himself. He thinks he's got to rush it. He's got the head down, thinks maybe somebody's going to tackle him, gets caught under his feet, and that's probably one of the only reasons that he doesn't put it in the back of the net.
Big call here from the referee. No red card, Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have given a red card, but had he given it, you wouldn't have been able to argue, because today they talk about a reckless challenge. Now, whether there's any intent doesn't matter. If it's reckless, then you can give somebody a red card.
But I think they're both as high as each other. It's just the consequence of what happened at the end.
Yep.
I mean, it could easily have got... I think it was the right call.
Yes.
Salah didn't have too many chances in this game. This would be the best one that would fall to the Egyptian international. A chance here, he just doesn't quite hit it right.
I think he just relaxes on it too much. You know, we talk about having composure, but then you can go the other way and just relax too much. Maybe that's why he doesn't get enough power on it. Credit Silva getting back, but I don't think it was going in anyway.
3 minutes later, Liverpool thought that they'd taken the lead through Matip. VAR obviously would take a look. Van Dijk offside and interfering with play.
Yeah, well, he's not interfering if there's not a defender there, but because Reece James is in the vicinity and he basically blocks James from making a challenge on Mane, then he's interfering with play. And we're talking probably 6 inches or so, but he is off, he is interfering, and again, it was the right call.
Luis Diaz was excellent throughout this game. What a signing it looks like he is, but denied by Mendy here, went through one-on-one.
Yeah, I think he's trying to nutmeg the goalkeeper, but Mendy, so good in this game. He's made himself big.
Moments later, Chelsea have the ball in the back of the net.
Guess what?
Guy Havertz. Another offside.
The only thing more tired than the players was the linesman's right arm. up and down. Yeah. Back in, up and down.
But getting the right decision.
No, correct call.
It could have been earlier. I mean, he could have put it up earlier. Again, that's not close.
And then, with 5 minutes to go, what a scramble this was. Mendy saves Diaz. And then Robertson.
And then it drops to Matip. Can't quite sort his feet out. He's done by this time, Matip. He's knackered.
And then what a save from Mendy. This is right at the death of normal time to deny Van Dijk.
Oh, I mean, that is... that. See, to me, this is probably as good a save as he's had. As good as the Mane one. It's coming at him so quick. It's going through bodies. Just pure reaction.
And then Lukaku almost won it. Right at the end, Kelleher with a huge save.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose idea was it to play Kelleher?
No, you didn't like it. Yeah, I tell you, the angle was against him there, but both goalkeepers in 90 minutes were absolutely tremendous.
So we go to extra time, and once again, we see a goal ruled out for offside. This was the closest of them all, wasn't it? Lukaku doing everything right here.
See, this is the one where Steve is talking about. This is the one where it's correct to keep the flag down because it is so tight.
Wow.
Incredible, isn't it? Well, if you go with the naked eye, it's impossible.
Again, here's a good reason why VAR is so good.
VAR's killing the game, is it not?
Because Chelsea could have been walking away with the trophy.
Right.
If that had been allowed.
Do you want another offside goal for Chelsea?
Yep.
It's Kai Havertz finding the back of the net.
Again, it's a good decision.
Yeah, the right decision here. Yeah.
Van Dijk, smart, steps up.
Again, it's close. Yep. So it's 0-0, we go to penalties. Should we take you for every penalty? Let's do every penalty, shall we? May as well. You're in no rush to go home, are you, Stevie?
Oh.
Kepa comes on then to replace Mendy. That, of course, will have massive implications in a moment. James Milner, first up, bang.
Magic. Bottom corner, never in doubt.
Alonso then for Chelsea.
Not the best penalty. Kelleher guesses the right way, but just trundles under him.
No. Get ready for this.
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, dear.
Get out of here.
That's so naughty.
Sorry. You don't need to speak through that one, do you?
And then Lukaku.
Yeah, I think it was 30 or 40,000 thinking the same thing we were thinking. Maybe even he was thinking it as well.
Keeps his cool though, scores. Van Dijk, what a penalty that is.
Yeah, because Kepa stood on that side.
Yeah.
To try and put him off, and he went that side.
Kai Havertz. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Next up then, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Brilliant penalty, this.
Because again, Kepa goes the right way. And at this point, Mendy's thinking, I might have saved one of these by now.
James, short run-up.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, side net and with pace. Even at a good height for the keeper, you still got to react quickly to save that.
So, we're on to the fifth penalty. Salah, panic.
Brilliant. No wonder he's laughing.
And so, Jorginho had to score.
Never in doubt, was it, with this guy?
Panicking,
got to score to keep it.
Do you know what? Fabinho's is brilliant, but that one's just as good.
Come on. So, sudden death. Jota.
Ooh. Even watching it a second time, you think he's going to get
maybe to the toe. Could get it.
Now we're into centre halves. Rudiger.
Oh,
perfect.
Lovely. Origi will come on as a substitute. Yep.
Down the pipe.
And N'Golo Kante. Yeah.
Yeah, no pressure.
It almost looks as though he's apologising for scoring.
Oh, then a Scotsman.
Yeah, we were worried about the
Yeah,
Scots,
we were, because we don't have a great record, do we?
Oh. I think Chelsea fans are worried about this. Yeah. Timo Werner.
Oh. Yeah, and it was an unconvincing penalty. And he looked puffing the cheeks from Werner.
Harvey Elliott, not even supposed to be playing.
Yeah, nice penalty.
Scores.
Yeah, he's a confident young kid, good player.
And speaking on the opposite end of the age spectrum.
I mean, look at Stuart Hamlett.
He can hardly walk. He's stiffened up big
what
time.
What a penalty.
I was worried about this one.
Yep. Konate.
Goes the right way. Goes, just dives under it. Kepa tries to get the right arm up.
And then the pressure.
Oh, big time.
And Chalobah, he makes it. And we're at 10-10. So we're down to the goalkeepers, and you were really concerned at this stage, Stevie.
Well, that was a great
Kelleher, wow.
I mean,
now, the only man concerned now is the Chelsea goalkeeper. This fella.
Level of experience with the two goalies, scary, the difference. And then you see what happens.
Oh. He went for the roof of the net, hasn't he? He's went for safety. I can understand why he went for power, but unfortunately he was leaning back. It was like a goal kick.
Yep.
Liverpool then, winners of the League Cup. What a match it was. I think there aren't too many games that you could compare with that finished 0-0 after 120 minutes and still be that entertaining. Let's take a look at Stevie's reaction, shall we? Oh, this is Kepa's penalty. Where were you off to, Craig?
I want a close-up.
Get your eyes sorted. Look at the yeah. Oh!
I was looking to see where the ball actually landed.
Ah, there we go. You could make arguments for both teams deserving it, couldn't you? I think.
No, you could. You could, and both played really well.
Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea dominated early, which, as Stevie said, was unexpected. They created the chances. Goalkeeping was brilliant. There was one debatable challenge.
Yeah.
That I think the right decision with Keita and Chalobah. Fullbacks, just particularly Liverpool's abandoning, particularly Alexander Arnold, just abandoning his defensive duties, was leaving them wide open. Some great football, clearly no goals, but a lot of excitement. And yeah, I mean, I think the referees and the officials got all the big decisions correct.
If you're watching our pre-match show, when we showed Stevie the Liverpool starting 11, your one problem was Kelleher coming in for Alisson. You said, you know, I understand Klopp's loyalty. This is a big boy game.
Yep.
We want to win this final.
Yep. Well, he's come out with flying colours. Listen, if they were to play another game tomorrow, I would still say the same thing.
Oh, Stevie.
Well, it's common. Listen, Dan, come on. You can't foresee what Kelleher did today.
Was he man of the match?
Absolutely. Without him, I don't think Liverpool win this. Not because of the penalties, but what he actually did on the field of play.
Yeah.
Which was my reason for not playing him, because you know what you're getting from Alisson. You're getting the best from Alisson. Now, the fact that Keller turns round and puts in such a brilliant performance, in my mind, means one thing. How good is that for Liverpool, that when Alisson gets injured, you've got a kid like that, with a bottle for it, like that? That's the biggest thing from today.
He could step in tomorrow and do the same.
Well, he could, but if he had the choice of the two, I would still take him.
Frank Leboeuf is with us. Frank, of course, we sit here and we watch a lot of rubbish, don't we? This was certainly not in that category.
No, of course not. Of course not. And remember that we watched the game Chelsea-Liverpool when they drew 2-2. It was absolutely a fantastic game as well. So I guess those two teams have to play every weekend against each other. Like that, we can have nice shows. Two comments on that, you know. On the man of the match, I think I've seen Van Dijk with a statue, with kind of a trophy on his own. So I guess he was named man of the match, which I think is not a disgrace because he's a fantastic player. But I think Kelleher or maybe Mendy should have should deserve to get that trophy today. And another thing, I totally agree with the guys about the VAR. You know, people are against the VAR. Should have watched that game to make sure that it's nice to have a fair game, a fair result, in a way that nobody was cheating and the ref did the right decision. So it's absolutely something that I want to see in the future. Good decision from the referees with a good VAR. We complain a lot about that. But yeah, overall, again, it was a fantastic game.
Wow, we're praising officials. What's going on?
I think if I was Man City, I'd be a little bit concerned because watching Liverpool, we talked before the game, they've started to get their mojo back. OK, this game could have went either way. But you think about it, Firmino and Jota was semi-fit and came in, Firmino not. But those two fully fit added to the front line is a front five. What a front five that is to rotate now that Diaz is in. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you've got a bit of everything in there. So they're not going away, I would not imagine, barring an absolutely devastating off day in the league. If everybody's fit, that front five should be able to keep them in the Premier League until that City game, and then I think it's middle of April or whenever it is, and then it's up for grabs.
Yeah. Diaz has got to be in there as a conversation as one of the best outfield players today.
100%.
He's fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's come into a team at the right time that's going forward. The Firmino and the Jota niggles has also helped. It's also made it easier for Klopp just to put him straight in.
Yeah.
But by putting him straight in, this guy's shown us what Liverpool have. And we've always spoken over the last few seasons about how City have got such a squad that they can rotate without you wouldn't even notice. Well, Liverpool now has that. And Liverpool now has that not only at the front, but at the back as well. So, you know, not only are Liverpool catching them this year in the title race, but as far as the squad, as far as the ability and the side from back, middle to front, there's very little to choose between these two sides.
I'm trying to phrase this and not sound like an idiot, but I don't know if I can.
Just, listen, just do what
normally doesn't put you off.
Just do your daily routine.
Aye, it's normal.
We're good with that.
Aye.
This isn't as devastating as it could have been for Chelsea, could it?
No, listen.
I don't know whether I agree with that.
Chelsea,
I don't think it is. They'll be devastated.
I don't know. If they went in there and lost 3 or 4-0 and didn't turn up.
Well, that's a different ball game. I'm just thinking from the point of view of where they've been going through a rough patch off the field and on the field. And this could have blown a whole load of cobwebs away had they won this. And the fact that they get so close, sometimes the fact that you get so close and it was actually in your hands is worse.
Right.
Sometimes it's better to be outplayed in a cup final. And then you can go, you know what? We were outplayed. But this is going to really hurt.
Well, do you know, I don't think so, Stevie, because there's been so many games recently where they have not played well. Boring draws. Yeah. And they played better against...
They've won six on the bounce coming into this game.
They played better against Lille. But, for example, the Plymouth game and the FA Cup and there has been others.
Yeah.
They haven't played well. No. I think they take some... Nobody wants to lose, be the first to go up the steps to Wembley. I get you that. But what are they playing for? They've got the FA Cup, Champions League, and what they have to do in the Premier League is make sure that gap doesn't become even more embarrassing than it is now. And you've got to take this performance forward and work on the Achilles heel, which is the final third. Mm. Now, you can't change your personnel until the summer. That's obvious. So I would prefer
super positive attitude. Well, I
think if Liverpool had beaten them by 3 or 4 today, and we'd saw another pedestrian Chelsea performance, that would have hampered the last 3 or 4 months of the season more than losing because your goalkeeper, who came on as a sub, missed the penalty.
Let's get some reaction from Wembley. Here's Thomas Tuchel.
The goalkeepers in both teams were the standout players in this game. Yeah. I think a lot of people were surprised when you decided to substitute Kepa in, since Mendy had such a great game.
Yeah, but I don't think so that a lot of people were surprised. We did it in the European Super Cup, and we said we will do it again because we have statistically proof that Kepa is slightly better, and goalkeeping in a penalty shootout is a total isolated discipline. It has nothing to do with a normal goalkeeping. So we did it today. He could not save one. In the opposite, he missed it. This comes with decisions. It's like this. We take the decisions when they need to be taken. And it's easy to judge decisions after when you know the result.
I think we can imagine how Kepa feels, but how did Edward think? Because he played in a penalty shootout in the final of the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, of course he did. And that's how it is. We have an agreement on these decisions. He knows that this can happen. It's never clear that it will happen. It depends on the substitutes during a match. Can be that you need all 5 substitutes in the match. So we have trust in Edu. Sometimes it can give you a certain edge. It can give you belief because Kepa is doing this in training. He's training with our boys, penalty shooting. This is why they are so strong. And Kepa is super strong in training, and because he does not play so much, he has more time in training to practice on penalties. So that's why he gives also huge belief to the team, and this is why we do it.
Thank you.
Does that explanation make sense, Frank?
Well, he can give any explanations, you know. Some people will agree with him, some people will disagree. But I think it may be also, I don't want to be harsh on Kepa, but it's maybe a karma stuff. Remember that he didn't want to be substituted some years ago on a penalty shootout, and Chelsea lost. And it's maybe that's just, you know, what somebody up there, you know, decided to punish him about, you know. But I can agree with the statistics. I think it's a little bit unfair to Edouard Mendy, who made his national team win in the AFCON, you know, stopping some penalty shootouts. So nothing is fair. Nothing is unfair. It's just a decision made by the technical staff, and players just have to accept it.
See, this is where, and by the way, what about the stats guru here?
I know. People, Stevie said,
but this is where, it's the classic case. And look, I'm not totally against what they did.
Right.
And I'm not arguing that the stats are not pointing to the fact that maybe Kepa is slightly stronger in that part of his game. However, there are times where you've got to get stats sometimes and just throw them out the window and say, how is my top man, goalkeeper, who has been brilliant, how has he played today? And the answer to that, the same as Keller, he was brilliant.
I'm not sure I agree with you, Craig. Listen, if I'm coaching that team, and I know, you know, it's if it's a centre forward or a right winger or a right back, and I'm going, this guy at that job is better than this guy. I mean, you're talking about feel, I'm guessing, because at the end of the day, the decision's made on pure fact. That's why I find it hard to agree with you, because I would have done the same thing.
Right.
Because if it goes the other way, and you go, well, hold on a second. Why are you putting a guy in goal to save penalties when you have another guy who clearly is better at it?
Well, I don't think anybody would argue the fact that Mendy had stayed on. Mendy's one of the there's a reason Kepa's on the bench. Mendy's one of the best goalkeepers in the world, has proven it, is equally as big and tall and has that presence in the goal when you see them moving around. It's, look, as I say, I'm not, it doesn't bother me they made that decision. I'm only questioning, it doesn't always have to be that the stats are there, so that's correct.
Right.
When a player, it could be like saying,
guys,
we have the best
penalty,
one second, Frank, we could be saying, we have the best penalty taker on the team, So he has to take the penalty. But that best penalty taker might be A, carrying an injury, B, is extremely tired, as most of them were, or has had a bad game. So the mindset for that, say it was Mo Salah. He's the best for Liverpool. He's had a horrendous game. Yeah. He's got a knock. He's super tired. Then the stats are befuddled and confused. It doesn't always have to be a bit of paper.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm not like totally against what he did. I'm saying it just doesn't have to be that the stats are going to make the fact that, you know, he's going to save it better than Mendy, who is a brilliant goalkeeper.
Go on, Frank.
Yeah, I think it's as said Thomas, you know, you can talk after the game and then you can say any scenario that you want. But you had the same debate about Kelleher and Alisson. And you say, well, Alisson should play. And Stevie say that. At the end of the day, Kelleher was the man of the match. Mm. So to talk after, it's easier. You know, you have to take a decision. I agree with you. I would have kept Mendy, but We cannot really criticize the technical staff for taking that decision and getting all the responsibilities of it. Again, it's just a decision that you make. It shouldn't be I think it wasn't the turning point. The turning point is more that Kepa is not a penalty shooter. It's not that he's not a good goalkeeper. He's not a penalty shooter. The penalty that he shot was horrendous. It was like a rugby thing that you do, you know, when you
conversion.
Just put a try on. So it's So the conversion was successful, not on the field.
I mean, I'm not criticising Tuchel at all. It's a decision that was made. I mean, some people will think it's good, some won't. My only point is it doesn't always have to be off a bit of paper.
Right.
It's got to be sometimes a bit more feeling about it. But I can understand why they did it. But the point is, he came on. He wasn't warm. He literally never had... I don't think he had a touch. There was 10 penalties, a couple of bad ones, and he didn't save them. That's what he was brought on to do.
Right.
And he wasn't able to basically do his job. Don't blame him for missing the penalty. But he wasn't... When Liverpool hit a couple of iffy penalties, that's what he was brought on for.
Just a reminder, soccer continues here today. Still plenty to come on ESPN Plus, and we will be live with you at the full-time whistle of Barcelona against Athletic Club. It's going on at the moment. You can check out that game. We'll be with you at full-time. It is 0-0 in the 16th minute there for more reaction from Wembley. And then later today, LA Galaxy against NYCFC. That game live on ESPN. Sometimes you can sell a 0-0 draw as a tactical masterclass or a chess match. You didn't have to sell this one. It was an epic final that was only missing goals in open play. In the end, it went down to penalties, and in the end, it went down to the goalkeepers. Kepa comes on and misses. Kelleher, the star of the show for Liverpool, as they are your Carabao Cup winners.